Assalamu alaikum and welcome to a brand new episode from Anas Talks podcast. I'm your host, Anas Shatara. This is the episode that I was most excited about, and it's actually the first episode that I have a host, a guest, not the host. I'm the host. I have a guest on the show. The host, again, the guest is the most beloved person to me. Not only he's my business partner, but actually he's my eldest brother, Khalil. How are you doing, Khalil?
Doing well. Thank you for having me.
You're more than welcome. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself? It's a bit confusing for me to ask you questions since I know all the answers. So I'm trying to simulate it here.
Never know. You might be surprised with some of those answers. Well, how can I start this? It is a bit awkward having this conversation with you. However, let me say first that I'm really happy. Congratulations on the podcast. I'm one of your followers and I'm really proud of what you're doing here.
Thank you.
So happy for having me over, and I hope it would be exciting for your audience as well. As for me, I don't think I have much to share in terms of exciting information, but I'll try to spice it up.
To start with your background.
Spice it up as much as possible. Now, academically, I do come from a business and a technology background where I graduated in management information systems. I do carry a minor degree in marketing and financial management. Guess what? That was 20 years ago. And it is extremely difficult for me to just confess that. Yeah, I would say almost 20 years ago, maybe. Yeah, give or take.
And the type of fields that you have been through so far?
Ever since, I've been mainly into technology. However, in a business development capacity and sales as well. I had, in my early career stages, I had a couple of technical positions, but that didn't last long. I immediately moved on to business development and sales. I was so interested in it. And I kept on doing that for a bit over 10 years, almost 12 years, working for different companies until I decided that, hey, it's time for me to do my own thing. Ever since, things have been extremely different for me now, because that's where all the theory that you've learned one day at school and all of the books and motivation seminars or whatever, now they come to practice. And then you'll be like, hey, let's see how this thing really works. So, you know, staying on track when it comes to answering the question, I would say officially, I've been working for my own self for almost now, 2018 now? Wow,
it's been a while. I did the calculation a couple of days ago.
What number you came up with?
Eight or 9 years.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, 9 years.
It will be all
close to a decade.
Yeah, close to. I mean, for me, it's crazy. I mean, thinking of all those times, it's really crazy. It's cliche, but it's crazy. I enjoy every bit of it. I still do, with all the challenges.
We will be digging deep into this. Now, true. For our audience, starting off, as you said, from management information systems in terms of an educational background, working with technology in many aspects, whether it was a mainstream sort of solutions and servers up to the sophisticated on a country level GIS systems, moving into intercommunication companies, jumping fields and being proactive, being able to steer your course using your own knowledge to fit in the type of business that you would be running. Getting to the point, as you mentioned, that you have started your own business. Now, it's kind of odd that, yes, having a technical background, technology background, management information systems background, but your business actually is photography and videography.
Yeah.
Well, how did you reach to that?
I would say it evolved to content. So I would think of it as content in general, and it has a very nice story on how I came to evolve to content, I would say. Now, ever since I've been working in technology and working for different companies, I always had a vision. Like I was always following a vision, And the, one of the things that motivated me to just, you know, take off on my own, of course, many factors. One of which that was always on my mind is I wanted really to express myself properly in business. So no matter how open-minded the company that you're working for, and especially that the companies that I worked for were huge, so there was, there's always that ceiling on, you know, over you that you cannot just break through easily. Such kind of companies, they're not comfortable in changing their methods, their, you know, approach to market or their go-to-market strategy.
They follow a certain format, you fit in a certain place, you do that job, and you're practically limited to that sphere.
In a way, see, they have their own good reasons. I'm not against it. But it reached a stage where it was so limiting for me. I had, like any young guy, I had my own dreams. I wanted to travel, get a nice car, a nice place, and whatever. I would say I achieved almost, you know, all of them, or the majority of those, I would say, superficial dreams, let's say, or goals.
Related to toys or related to...
Yeah, I would call them toys now. So, but some, I had something deep inside that I wanted to express more, so...
And just to clarify, by toys, we don't mean Lego. We actually mean like fancy cars and fancy places, and fancy clothes.
True. Like I had a checklist, I would say. And I was just going through that checklist. And I was really happy with where I was in life. But it didn't give me that sense of achievement that I was always after. And for me personally, it was extremely important. We might come to that later on, but just to stay on track here, what happened is that when I decided to go on my own, I realized one thing. Being a cog in a huge machine for all my career till that point made me realize, like, hey, if I want to utilize my skills in the environment that I was and still belong to, you know, to the region that I am in and to the market that I am based in, that was, I mean, just going off using that skill, sales only, business development only, meant that I was in between both a supplier and a customer. So no matter what the customer was, no matter what the supplier was, whether it was system integration, solution providing, you know, in the IT realm.
Yeah.
Your job was to locate the right customer, sell, you know.
Pushing boxes in a way or another.
Not necessarily. A lot of those...
Boxes meaning like a system or a service.
A lot of those solutions were innovative. But again, your job was to be in between two parties, which is the most simplistic form of defining sales, you know, when it comes to a corporate environment. When I was on my own, I couldn't play that role, okay, especially at the time when the market in terms of solutions, whatever, was down, okay. It was a global phenomenon. It was a global thing. It wasn't just local or belongs to this area only or this region. So it was going across the world. And I realized, like, hey, I do need a trade on my own. So I tried many things and I had limited success. So I did manage to, you know, create certain solutions and sell them on my own. It was looking back at it right now, it was crazy. It was extremely difficult, but I did it anyway. And I realized, hey, the time I'm spending from developing the solution to selling it to installing it, you know, as a one-man show is not worth it. It's not efficient, you know, it's not financially viable. And then I was like, hey, I need to do something different. Now, Meanwhile, the only thing that there is a theme that went across the board here, you know, whether I was working for someone or working for my own, I never stopped exploring new frontiers, I would say, and learning. And there is nothing in the world that I hate more than reading about something or knowing about something that I don't understand. I would just go crazy. I just can't sleep on it.
I would say probably not a biased opinion because I'm your brother, but because I've seen you in a work atmosphere, I would say this was one of the biggest factors of you climbing the ladder, the career ladder, at such a young age and being able to achieve the things that you have achieved at that time, is the fact that, yes, you'd always try to discover new horizons, learn and understand how does the systems that you're dealing with work, so on and so forth. Now, if we would just go with the audience a little bit to rewind back in time. So when we say 8 to 9 years is when you took the step, and basically our episode is talking generally about fear related to businesses and taking decisions. So if we rewind 9 years back, it was at the time where the global crisis have happened, the crash, all the economies and the markets were down. You came from a very good part of a job, overlooking the operation in a territory level, in a, as far as I remember, it was a telecommunication company providing solutions, something like that. True. And then you took this step of, you know what, I'm going to do something on my own. So I loved the explanation that you read from the book Fear. It's an acronym for false evidence appearing real. And that's where the whole idea of the episode came from. And I wanted to have somebody who have experienced this, who have done this, gone through it, to be able to share with us of how did you do it, where did it come from, how did it feel, and the experience on its own.
Sure. Okay, although this episode will be themed by the fear topic, which is good, however, I also need to be honest on, because it's something that is always going in parallel with, you know, with the entire journey until this point, and the journey is still in its early stages, I would say. Even after 9 years, it means nothing, okay? Because it's all goal-oriented. Whether you'll achieve your goals in 1 year or 9 years or 90 years, time for me is irrelevant when it, you know, especially in that equation.
True.
So if I want to be 100% honest with it, yeah, fear will take so many forms that I will, from my own experience, talk about it in a second. But for me, just to pretend like, hey, it was a switch on and off, like, yeah, guess what?
Just like the movies.
You guys don't deserve me. And I'll go on to be the next Bill Gates. That's not 100% true. Because the self-doubt that you will have is something that you will live with forever, I believe. And again, I'm talking from personal experience. You might have those moments where you feel like you're the most powerful person in the world. That's true. And then you would have the other moments where you just wish you can cry. You have the ability to cry, like, yeah, really heavily, you know. So and it keeps, it's just part of the process. With time, you will learn something. There is a process. You will be part of that process. You cannot control all the outcomes. You cannot control everything, actually. You just need to learn how to deal with the variables as quick as possible, okay? So when it comes, since we're on the topic of fear, I would say, yes, I always, even our own conversations, I always used to reference that book. The book is called Fear. I can't really recall because it's a very old book. It was produced by BBC, okay? And
sheds the light about fear in life or fear related
to everything.
Business?
And see, fear is a force that holds you back. Now, listen, there is a good reason why we have fear.
Yeah, exactly.
Embedded in our system.
So when you see a lion, you know that you need to get scared, exactly, and move away from danger.
You need fear to survive. Otherwise, we wouldn't have lasted all those years as a species, you know. So fear is quite essential for our survival. However, in the modern day life, where you have like a 0% chance, I would say, to meet a lion in an elevator, okay? So your fear,
and that lion would be hungry and not actually full.
your reflexes, your defense mechanisms are triggered by the wrong reasons, I would say. Again, self-doubt. Now the smart thing that I realized, I mean, listen, fear is as smart as the person who's going through it.
Yeah, and it will evolve with you. So the smarter you get, the smarter your fear mechanism just grabs you.
It's a game of mental manipulation, okay? Which is very weird, okay? But the thing, I mean, I'll try to make it as simple as possible and not to go to the woo-woo part of this conversation, okay?
Usually that's the spicy part of the conversation when it goes woo-woo.
Exactly. That's the spicy part. But again, you know, I'm trying to answer.
So break it down to make it simple for you, if we break it down, you're coming from a corporate environment, obviously, and now you're doing something on your own. So the first thing, the first hit to you is the instability. It's like you're standing on a raft on the water. You're not in a big ship where it's somewhat stable and things, the risk is somewhat systematic, is expected. You know, you go through your day.
Well, raft in the water is quite stable. I would take that any day. You know, it's like a raft on a shark fin in the water while the shark is being chased by three whales. And, you know, it's like a crazy story.
There's thunder and raining fire.
Raft in the water is like, it's perfect. I would take it any day and I'll be happy.
The girl from Titanic survived on a raft, you know. Yeah, it works.
Exactly, it works. So, but really, the thing, again, I wanna address this topic from different angles, because it's all about this subtle, I would say, behavior, okay, changes that it brings to our life. So you were asking me about the first thing. The first thing is the fear of the unknown. Now, no matter how you are confident from the outside, and sometimes I do take extreme confidence as extreme stupidity, okay?
Yeah.
It's good to be confident. You need this force, okay? You need this thrust to go forward. But again,
you need some sort of calculation. And
it's not about calculation, no. I believe mixing both does not work, because again, it will introduce fear in a way or another. So use that courage, use that confidence, okay, where it really belongs, in a negotiation, in developing your own product, in sticking to your guns, as they say. That's true. That's where you need confidence.
And confidence when you come and say, listen, this product failed, and I'm confident about it. I'm not going to be beating a dead fish. Or something.
Well, again, all of those qualities, they have like a thin line between them. So that would take us to a territory where you have to be transparent with yourself, and don't live in your own la la land. Just, you know, you have to, and all the time you just have to take a step back and look at the picture and go back again, you know, for the fight, simply. Okay, so you need both macro and micro skills at the same time. You need this macro eagle eye kind of you know, skill where you're over sighting things from a distance and you have a very good idea about the landscape. And then you need the micro skills to take on the day-to-day fights. Okay. So yeah, in the beginning, the uncertainty, you know, is a killer, because all of that, whether you like your job or you hate it, as long as you've been receiving a paycheck, okay, you somehow have that rift that you were just referring to.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
you know, on 25th of the month, you'll get the SMS, money is deposited.
At a certain date, mm-hmm. if you're working with a proper company, at least, okay, you're guaranteed to receive money, your income, your whatever it is, okay? And as good as that is for one's life, and it's almost the goal of everyone,
true,
okay, in modern day life, it never satisfied me fully, okay, because
despite having a bigger paycheck,
despite no matter how big the paycheck was, and I'm not saying here like, hey, and all of a sudden I decided just to take off. No, the market was down anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Employment opportunities were scarce. I had also my own personal issues and problems that delayed me a little bit of joining the market at the time. Okay. Now, once those things were over, I still had the chance of pursuing an employment opportunity, again with the unknown. You never know when your CV or resume will make it to the right person and you will receive that call. And of course, I was aware that the supply is far more higher than the demand. The supply, I mean, of skilled professionals in the market.
Mm-hmm.
And the low demand of the companies asking for those, you know, skilled professionals.
Even people like who are very skilled had to lowball themselves just to be able to keep the lights on and keep food on the table, you know?
I've seen a lot. I mean, again, you cannot just put one blanket over all those examples, but mm-hmm. I've seen good examples and I've seen bad examples.
We're not trying to draw a grim picture here, but it was a real issue. If you were at a certain level of management or in a certain pay grade and somebody just comes and says, listen, I'm willing to earn 25% of that just to keep the lights on.
If there's one thing I've learned from that experience at that time, even if you were perfect, it's not enough.
Mm-hmm.
You need to be unique. And I would like to quote Seth Godin. Like I always refer to his books and articles and blogs. I love this guy and his podcast as well. And he had a book called The Linchpin. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And in that book, he describes that person who is a linchpin, you know, which is a mixture of, you know, being the cornerstone, I would say, somehow in an organization. And that's true. You can be perfect in your field, and in such bad times, it's not enough for you to get a job unless you're unique. Now, sometimes your uniqueness is connections, which is a factor as well.
Mm-hmm.
We're not living in a perfect world, you know. This is the real world, where yes, connections plays a role. At the end of the day, every single thing you're doing to make business includes a human interaction, even if your business is online. Someone is behind that computer. Someone is in the factory manufacturing that product, you know. So we shouldn't discount the connections factor, because, you know, sometimes you go like, hey, this is unfair.
Yeah, this guy is underqualified, but he managed to land the job. Or
maybe it's unfair, but
it's a factor. I mean, nonetheless, in reality, it's a factor. And not to be a spoiler alert or something, I read the Lynchpin book. I highly recommend it. One of the most beautiful books by Seth Godin. I think all his books are hits, in my opinion.
Amazing, yeah.
There is a small example of a linchpin, because I was not familiar with the terminology. So in helicopters, and this is a true fact, in helicopters, the engine is connected to whatever, and it's connected to the fans, basically, that goes around. So this whole mechanism is connected by one nut. They call it the Jesus nut. Because they say when it gets loose, the only thing you have to do is pray to Jesus. It's like, so having meaning that you have a whole operation, a whole system, a very powerful system connected through one connection. So you being the linchpin that's being able to, the whole system is being able to rely on you to turn around and fly, sort of speak. Now, of course, the book is much more detailed, it digs into.
Yeah, I mean, this is like one interpretation of the... Mm-hmm. Of the concept or the terminology. But again, I mean, of course, although it's not a big book, but it's a very important book, okay?
And his podcast is called Akimbo.
Yeah, the most recent one is mm-hmm. called Akimbo. Highly recommended. However, I mean, that was one of the concepts. Now, in a perfect world, that can exist. I was not the linchpin, fine. I was not even the perfect guy that I was just describing. I was good at whatever I did, but I wasn't amazing. Maybe in a lineup of, professionals in my field, maybe I will not really stand out that much, okay, to be honest with myself. Not to discount my own qualities. I know what and that's one of the things I learned with time to know. To really learn what are my true strengths and my weaknesses. Okay, now there are two things here: theory and real world.
Mm-hmm.
It's so easy in the world of self motivation and business, you know, in terms of the literature. Okay, to read a lot of books,
and to talk the dog.
Caught them, you know, caught those books and sound like you really know your stuff, I would say, rather than using different words. However, in reality, you need the true wisdom behind what you've read, the practical knowledge of what you've learned, because it means nothing. It means nothing if you know all those beautiful, complicated terminologies that belong to a certain field in business, let's say, whether especially in technology with all the abbreviations and the ITP with the TIP and all, you know, yes, it makes you sound sophisticated, but in reality,
it means nothing.
It means nothing unless you practice those kind of things.
I like the example that you gave me a while back when you told me, I think we were working out in the gym doing the boxing class, and I was feeling tired from just hitting the sandbag, simple as that. And you were like, you know, you think yourself you're Rocky after training with this bag for 6 to 8 months, and all it takes is one slap, not even a punch.
True.
In the real world, where you go like, or in the ring as an example, where you go like, okay, so all what I learned was good. But getting a real punch or punching a bag that punches back is a whole different game.
That's more like a wake-up call. Like, hey, listen, you might have what it takes, but you're not ready yet, which is okay. And again, through this, let's call it the 9 years journey, I'm still learning every single day. Now, whether I'm feeling good or bad, I do believe in one thing. A professional does what he or she is supposed to do, whether they like it or not. Okay, I exercise, and sometimes I just trick my mind in with every single trick I have in the book just to make it to the gym. And once I'm there, I go like, "Yeah, I gotcha. Now you're in the gym. You gotta work out now." You know, and sometimes I'm overly excited to go to the gym. Even if I have like a 6:30 class in the morning, I would be awake an hour earlier, ready and fired up to go. We're humans at the end of the day, and it's extremely normal for us not to feel the same each and every single day of our lives, whether good or bad, you know. So and that applies, you know, that applies on our business life.
I always tell myself that. Saying the same concept of whenever a professional would do what he has to do, I don't know why I have this funny example in my head, and I always laugh at it, that if Cristiano Ronaldo woke up in the morning and his wife made him the tea not the way that he likes it, he can't have an excuse showing up to the match and not scoring well and tells the coach, well, listen, I can explain, you know, it's not going well at home, she didn't make me the right tea. He's gonna show up whether he likes it or not, and he's still gonna give it his best and shoot whether he's feeling all right or not.
See, at the when you get inspired, or you read or hear or watch any of those stories of someone who did something great, it boils down to one single thing: a person who overcame his own personal challenge.
Yes.
Quite simple, you know, or difficulty or whatever, you know. So and that person learned how to accept his reality, himself, he owns his success or her success, you know, no matter what the field is, okay, even in physical sports. However, it boils down to someone just overcoming their own demons and challenges, and the world celebrates that.
At the end of the day, the worst critic on earth is yourself, because one would be any harsher than you than yourself.
Well, that critic is fear by itself. That is the true definition of fear. Because, as I just mentioned earlier, fear can disguise itself in many forms. Okay, so your mind wants to manipulate you now, to save you. Because you're somewhere in your brain, there's something saying, hey, I want to save him. I don't want him to go through rejection, let's say. Even in your personal life. Rejection, because it generates a very, very negative feeling, and this negative feeling might have physiological implications on yourself. But hey, why don't I just avoid all of this? And let me reason. You don't really need to go through this, because, hey, that person is ugly anyway. Okay? That's like the most.
I didn't like
thing.
Their hair anyway.
Yeah,
they look like someone who has bad teeth.
That
you know?
Person is ugly, extra tall, extra short. God knows what. Again, that's whenever you have an action in mind, and some logical, I would say, voice in your head stops you or tries to stop you. Think about it for a second. I mean, especially if you're not trying to do something crazy, of course. I'm talking about day-to-day life. Fine.
I'm just laughing because I had the excuse in my head, like, oh, he looks like a person who believes that the earth is flat. So
yeah, no matter what.
It's like a good excuse for me not to approach them.
You, as I'm telling you, breaking through this is extremely important because it opens the door to a zillion other things that you need to learn about your own self. What are your limitations? Now, you can also have a look back at your life and say, well, from all the fears that I had, how many did really happen in my life? Okay.
And have that negative effect that was so amplified in my head.
How many times did I find the crocodile under my bed when I was a kid? Okay. Like, you know?
For you, it was a crocodile. For me, it was a dinosaur. I always wondered when I grew up, how would a dinosaur? Like, it's so big.
You know, depends. So if you really think about it, again, I will go later on. I will be talking about the other side where we'll have to respect that fear. Okay. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, for someone who's on his own now, who's trying to start something new, and that applies to everything from my experience, it applies to arts, to entrepreneurship and business, personal relationships, self-development, and growing out of your shell, you know. You need to understand how fear is quite strong and how deep it's embedded in everything, in the way we think. In each and everything. Fear is... I'll give you a real example from my life. Now, I was raised up in a very nice and a beautiful environment. I'm not sure if you're aware. Okay.
No, I can second that.
Okay.
I took some good part in it.
But my parents, when it comes to self-defense, they were pacifists.
Yeah.
Okay. And they were like, no need to learn self-defense. No need for violence. And yeah, man. And it was a big problem for me growing up. Okay. Now, believe it or not, that was so deeply imprinted, I would say, or engraved or coded into my mind, to the point that even if I'm just dreaming, I can't punch back or kick back. And it took me a very long time, okay, very, very long time,
to decode yourself.
Just to dig deep and trace that code in my mind and get rid of it. And I believe the first time ever in my life I had a dream where I punched back, I was so happy. I just woke up like I just like won the war, you know, against one of my demons. Now, that as much as that story is simple, okay, but imagine, just replace that example with anything else, and you can see how deep it runs into everything inside you, you know. And that taught me, and of course I came with terms, with that kind of a fear early on in my life, in my early 20s, okay? Not having the full philosophy behind it, like fear or not fear. I was just extremely...
You felt there was a problem that needs to be addressed.
Exactly. But I didn't have the philosophy behind it. Later on in my life, when I kept on reading and, you know, again, I had to look inwards, because you learn one thing later on, okay? When you're on your own, you have 100% responsibility of all the outcomes, good or bad. The reason is that when you are part of a group, okay, you have a percentage of the effort, 1%, 90%, 60%.
It's shared across the group.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's so easy to disguise your own mistakes and group them with others. Like, hey, we failed.
Okay. We didn't achieve the target.
We missed the target. So what is my share of that failure? I mean, again, depends on your political power in the company. It's extremely difficult to pinpoint it and say like how much you own from that loss.
And as you said, it's a political game. It depends on how slippery you are to be able to avoid the hit.
And the same applies to gain. Mm-hmm. Applies to gain. Mm-hmm. Hey, your team might win and you guys might gain something. But in reality, how much of that win or success do you really own? Again, it's a very variable thing because in a group, it's not that obvious. When you're on your own starting something, okay, 100% of the outcome is your sole responsibility.
I totally believe this. And honestly, obviously, the topic here is not violence, nor we are promoting violence, but we shed the light on it as an example. The point I wanted to say it is that, in my opinion, when you go to a doctor, the therapy starts when he pinpoints the problem. And that's exactly where you were at that time. So you told yourself there is a problem. The moment you addressed it, the therapy has started. Now, the therapy today was probably a personal thing to you, but it might be a business thing. And one of the things that I can recall, probably not, and this is something common, especially in our region, whether it was in our family or other families, that I always used to hear this: don't move from your job until you find another job. Don't do this move until you secure the next move. I understand in a concept, yes, it somewhat makes sense that when you are on the payroll, look for something else, you know, while you're being hired. But I noticed that you can miss out on so many opportunities. Like, as an example, they would offer you an unpaid job in a very big company, and it's a very big promise. Again, it's a promise. It might be whatever its percentage, 50-50, 60-40, it doesn't matter. But you missed out on that just because you didn't want to have a 3 months or 6 months risk of no pay, you leaving your job. So similar scenarios have had a big negative effect on you, missing out on opportunities. And of course, not reaching to the point where you go, in the words of those family members or this mentality, that you're going for a suicide mission while you go like, hey, I'm going to be an entrepreneur and start my own thing.
Well, okay, fine. See, the way I would like to address this is the following. First of all, the variables in everyone's lives are not only different, they're unlimited. Okay.
Sorry.
They're unlimited. And I'm sharing the experience, and you have to take into consideration the background that I mentioned in the beginning. Sometimes you might be in a spot where you're extremely desperate, and that's your only choice. I mean, yeah, chasing a job that you don't like or whatever, and that's 100% legit, and I understand that. I had to go through this myself at times, you know, in my life, and it is difficult. But again, running your own business is difficult as well. Now, the way I'd like to carry this conversation is to give as much as possible for someone who would be interested in this path to know what he or she might be facing in advance. Not to take caution, I would say. No, because no matter how careful you are, you still do mistakes.
Sure.
But I'm simply saying you have to accept that mistakes is part of the process, as part of you growing up. Looking inwards, being transparent with yourself, being honest with yourself. Don't blame the world for your mistakes, you know. Don't blame your
surrounding
bad manager, you know, for your bad luck, you know, and it goes on and on. Leave all those things behind. Some of them, even the majority of them, might be true. And I mean by third party effects on your life. A bad manager, a bad environment, that all plays a role. But as you just mentioned before, identifying the problem is have the distance to the solution, okay? And this applies to everything in life, not only
even in day-to-day activities in the office.
Everything, yeah. You know, even in working out. You want to develop your physique, and you're stagnating at a certain point. You have to identify where the problem is. Otherwise, you will never move forward.
Is it the style? Is it the nutrition? Is it the technique?
Exactly. So, yes, the beginning wasn't... I would say it was 50% choice, and it was 50% market circumstances, okay? And secretly, I was praying that the 50% that would work is that the entrepreneurship track.
Yeah.
And I didn't know what I was wishing for. I'm serious.
This is the woo-woo part.
It is somehow. Again, you might have this conversation with someone else who might had maybe a better luck in the beginning, who would say something different, okay? However, I'm gauging myself against my own goals. They might be extremely big, even for me, but I believe in them. Fine. So it was, I would say, 50% I was forced to go that route, and 50% was choice, okay? Along the way, I had both opportunities. You know, I was exposed, I would say, to both opportunities again later on in my life. I was offered jobs and I was offered projects in terms of me as a contractor, let's say, or someone who runs a company. And again, I was offered jobs by companies who were interested in having me over. Again, I would say a lot of failures that I've learned from.
I think if I would describe it was more or less of an emotional roller coaster, because as you said, it's a perfect analogy where you said it is a 50-50. You can do both, sort of speak, not at the same time, but you can be a good employee and you can pursue your entrepreneurial path, as an example, and being able to be exposed to both at the same time, especially that, as you mentioned earlier, having your self-doubt, having yourself as the enemy or the critique, it just puts you in a very tough place. Especially that I was, again, I'm not being biased, but being the person who have witnessed all of this emotional roller coaster. One thing I wanted to mention, and this question goes back to you. So before you started a business or any business, as in like you run it from A to Z, the first thing that used to come to your mind was the budget. If you think about it logically, you want to start a business, you would say, I need the cash to start any business. Sure. After you started your business, does that still hold?
Okay. I'll rephrase your question. Is capital a must for starting a business? My answer is, for the most part, no, but there is a caveat here that does not apply for everything, okay? And again, it depends on which scenario. So if you're lucky enough to have investors around you, they trust you, they believe in your vision, okay, and they can invest in your business, this does not apply to you. Yes, you can start with some capital. I can almost guarantee that you lose it, especially if it's your first experience. Yeah, but
it's not only pure luck. It's like shooting in the dark.
Yeah.
And hitting a bullseye.
Again, we need. You learn something with business later on. How can I reduce the variables as much as possible? How can I convert whatever I'm doing to metrics? Because metrics, you can deal with numbers. Mm-hmm. You can, let's say, on the topic of marketing, which is one of the most extremely difficult topics to discuss in terms of numbers. Now, I do understand a lot of people claim it's easy to convert it to numerical values, okay, and deal with it as such. But that's all in theory. That's what you need to read in a book and answer on an exam paper to graduate. Now, you need to apply that in real life and get the same results that you have mentioned in that exam paper. Good luck. Really?
You need all the luck in the world.
Really? Good luck doing that.
Yeah.
It's not impossible. I'm not saying it's impossible.
But it's next to it.
It is possible, but you have to take into consideration, you know, all the variables in mind, which would apply, which would, you know, it applies to things like your region, your demographic, your audience, I mean, your demography, everything, you know. And those are just three or four factors of hundreds, I would say.
True.
Now, with time, if you're persistent, this will only get more and more accurate. Because when you're doing your plans the first, second, third, tenth time, you're still missing by a lot. So your, what do you call it?
Your targets?
No. Your, the accuracy, you know? Mm-hmm. Your tolerance, sorry. You'll have a very huge tolerance rate. Now, what will happen with time, if you are persistent, okay, this tolerance rate will keep on reducing, and your accuracy...
Obviously by trial and error.
Yeah, and your... Now, trial and error based on something.
Yeah, true.
You know, based on something. So, again, all of those things are real-life things. You read about them. You have those great articles that you would come across on Facebook, LinkedIn, or whatever website that you go to on daily basis. And they're all right, by the way. And they're all wrong at the same time. It's you who would be the judge of that and how you can apply that knowledge. So this is just a little bit of what I learned along the way, you know.
So probably if we were put it in an example, if you were the best carpenter and you were working in a carpentry, you're the best, you've been doing it 5-10 years, you have all the skills in the world. Day one, you open your carpentry, does not mean that you will actually do well. Because now you're not only doing the carpentry, you're doing the business.
Exactly.
Handling all the pillars of it.
No, because your trade now have evolved from doing something, only a single task, following your example, which is carpentry, let's say, building a door, a table, whatever it takes, okay? And now, guess what? You're responsible for a business which the core of that business revolves around that skill
of building a door.
And every one of those things needs its own time. Mm-hmm. So you want to know how to build the books, how to get customers, how to set prices, how to deal with competition, how to
manage inventory,
everything,
how to sales, how to do accounting,
how to grow, you know, grow. And you cannot just go like, hey, listen, I'll be the same person who will do everything around. That's impossible. You will never grow to start with. And this business will live with you and die with you. And that's it. Now, if that's your goal, that's okay. And by the way, this is a very good segue for me to go back to your original question, sorry. What was the journey like from technology to content? Now, there is a story behind this. And I started telling the story and then, you know, I went all over the planet answering it. However, to make it simple and direct as much as possible, I realized when I'm not that linchpin in technology, okay? Of course, I'm up to date with everything that is related to my field, but that's, you know, irrelevant. It's not everything, okay? Again, and we go back to the 50-50 kind of a 50% was choice, 50% I was forced, because I couldn't just, you know, wait or live with the fact like, hey, you know, I'll just be sitting and waiting for a good opportunity. I would rather invest that time in you know, investing in myself and starting something.
Trying a new route.
Yeah. So one of the things that I was doing in system integration was digital signage solutions. Okay. And I really had a great experience And I still do, actually.
Small example, like when you go to the mall and you see all these screens, whether it was vertical or horizontal, in Starbucks, in Tim Hortons, or well, these McDonald's.
That's how we used to define it 9 years ago. Now it's all over the place.
Yeah, yeah.
It's in the elevator. It's in washrooms, in malls. It's everywhere, okay? So it's simply introducing a digital medium, okay? Just to run media on, instead of having those banners or whatever. And I wanted to do it all by myself, like, and I did well. I got a solution. I modeled a kiosk. You know, I was doing it all on my own. And the sales cycle was so long, to the point that even if I'll make like a couple of millions on a single sale, it's still not financially viable for me as an option.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I was, you know, I was like, hey, listen, let me just get this deal and I'll grow and I'll plan my growth and everything. That didn't happen. However, I realized something, that this, now, mind you, that was like almost 9 to 10 years ago. I would say nine years ago, or eight even. I had a prediction that the digital signage thing would just explode at a point of time, because the technology was becoming cheaper and it's more, I would say, approachable. I mean, it's the solution is becoming easier. The solution is becoming cheaper, okay? The implementation is becoming easier, you know? Competition is getting higher. And of course, when that happens, customer always gets the best of all of that.
Yeah, they get the best cost of hardware, exactly. Best deals on software, and
I took the decision not to go through the hardware, you know, at that point. And I think that was a great decision, because the hardware was still in its early stages of
development.
So I knew that it would reach it still needed some time to reach maturity. And by maturity in that field, I mean reliable screens, you know, industrial grade, affordable prices, and mini to micro computers that are also durable and
like it can be embedded affordable. With the screen, as a
embedded or not, yeah. Embedded or not, but they're small enough that you can deal with. Okay.
So you pulled the Bill Gates move where he said, yeah. I don't need to go with hardware. It's going to be inevitable. I'm just going to do the software.
Exactly. And I said, no, I will just stick to software and content. And content still wasn't really on the table. When it comes to software, you have two choices, either to reinvent the wheel or just negotiate a deal with someone you prefer and get some good rates with them. And that's, I would prefer that, because it will take until you... I mean, those guys have been, let's say, developing their own software for like 3 years. So unless you have the budget to put a team around you, and mind you, at that time, sites where you can find freelancing programmers, whatever, like Upwork, and you know, all
getting
those,
to skilled workers was not as simple as it is today.
Exactly, it
was freelancers type of.
It wasn't as easy, and even nowadays, by the way, it's not cheap if you're looking for quality.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, you go back to square one of saying, hey, I would need to allocate a capital, a budget, and then a team, and...
You're reinventing the wheel, basically.
Build the use case. And again, at best, version 1.0 would be definitely less than what's already offered in the market. While those guys are going cloud-based and they're evolving, you're still in your early stages.
Making the user interface easy, available on mobile, can be controlled remotely, so on and so forth.
True. So at that point, again, and mind you, it took a lot of transparency and honesty, because it wasn't just an overnight decision. You know, it's not something that it's not like a 3 days journey. So day one was like, ditch the hardware, it's okay. Day two was like, oh no, software doesn't work for me. And day three was, let me focus on content. No, this took a long time until I was convinced that this is the right move for me.
I truly believe that it was a blessing and a curse that you actually worked with hardware before, you have the knowledge for hardware,
sure, sure.
and you have the reach to the sources of good sure, hardware.
Sure, sure.
And you were like, I can see the money. I've seen the money before. I closed deals before. And I'm going to ditch it.
So. True, true. I mean, I was already a distributor for the entire Middle East for one of those manufacturers. I was connected to every major manufacturer for all the hardware that I wanted. And I can secure good deals, you know, in terms of payment terms and everything. And I had to, you know, pull the trigger on it because I knew on the long run that it will be an uphill battle. Which proved to be true with time, to be honest with you. Because, again, uncertainty at that time proved to be true. And all my fears, they were translated even to louder voices in my head. Like, hey, see, I told you, this will never work, okay?
I don't understand.
Oh. You said see. Oh. Well, you triggered Siri.
Yeah, so Siri just got triggered on her own. That's cool. Okay.
Sorry. Thank you, Siri, for joining the conversation.
Yeah. Wow,
Apple, stop listening to us.
Wow, that's really spooky. So, I felt it on the long run, it will be an uphill battle. And even looking back at that decision, I believe it was 100% right. Okay. And again, it was a struggle. It was a process. Even, by the way, coming... You know, decision making, I do recall that I took a full course at university. It was called Decision Making Systems. Okay. And of course, I, like everyone else, I passed the class. And I never thought that it's a thing. Like, hey, decision making systems, what, man? Mm-hmm. But when you are making decisions that
will steer the course of the business to somewhere else.
It's about the time that will be invested, regardless to the money. Because if you'll take a decision, decision A will take you 2 years down the road until you would realize the result, whether it's good or not. And you will have, I would say, unreliable indications along the way. You might see good results, but still you cannot depend on that. And you can see bad results, and you cannot also depend on that. Mm-hmm. So, and you know that it only in 2 years, you will get to know whether it was worth it or not.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, again, I pulled the trigger on both hardware and software. And then considering content was important. Now, this also relates to a previous experience I had when I was selling broadcasting solutions to local TV stations. And I saw the struggle they had in content. And again, also that sector got, I would say, positively affected by technology, yet it had its own downsides. So as an example, by the time I was selling those solutions, it was so easy to start a TV station with a playout server. I mean, you can just have a laptop and a playout server, as an example, and guess what? You would have a fully functioning satellite TV now channel, okay? You just, you know, rent the beam, as they used to call it, okay?
You rent the frequency
and you're done, okay? You don't even need to get anything more. And that made it so easy that I saw some TV stations that looked the same size of our bathroom in the office. Like, really, you know, it was that small. Successful or not, debatable, I have no idea. But that created huge competition. Everyone now with a couple of thousand dollars in their pocket can just go and start their own satellite channel. Now, content. That's where, at the end of the day, now, in the beginning, like, yeah, everyone was happy in the old days. Now we have 24/7 TV. Now, you're the owner of that TV channel. What are you going to do in terms of content now?
True.
Are you going to produce your own content? Because that's a different ball game, you know? So I've seen that struggle when I was selling those solutions, and I've seen a lot of those stations. In fact, there were a few guys that I knew they always kept track of those channels because they knew within 6 months they were closed down. So they wanted to buy their equipment
at a cheaper rate.
At a sellout rate. At a bargain, you know. And they were successful doing that. They were really successful because where would you go?
The leeching of failure, which is also another approach for business. Yeah,
they saw an opportunity. They knew that those new channels won't last long. I mean, for the love of God. Okay, so you started to start a music channel. Guess what? 48 other people decided to do the same thing. And you're all broadcasting the same exact songs all day long.
Yes.
So can you please tell me where's your unique identifier?
It was at the era where people used to send SMSs to chat in the bottom of the screen and send the SMS of like two names and see
please
the percentage.
Please don't mention that. We'll sound really old. So. Okay. So
we still keep up with Netflix and cool stuff like PlayStation 4 and Fortnite.
I promise you guys I'm really up to date. That was the thing then, you know. So I saw the struggle with content firsthand. And I realized that going into content will have a lot of benefits because don't forget that I was a distributor of the hardware. So I already had an IT business, a small IT business at the time. And I struggled myself with content, graphical content, I would say. Again, remember that at that time, having those huge websites where you can now buy stock images, stock designs and flyers and everything wasn't exactly available with this quality now in 2018, just to be specific. I don't know when you guys will hear this, but it wasn't that available. It wasn't that abundant, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
And even if it was available, it was extremely limited.
Mm-hmm.
So I do recall in one of those scenarios when I was selling a solution, I was stuck in a place where I had to develop a user interface for the interactive digital sign I was selling.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't find anyone in the local market. I put ads everywhere. I couldn't find any freelancer with the experience that I was looking for. And I had to scratch my own itch, as they say. And that's where the first every time. Now, mind you, I am someone who never in a million years thought I would ever have to do with anything that is creative. I can't even
draw. You thought you were the numbers guy, you would be the
I always thought I'm the IT guy, the technology guy. I appreciate and respect all of those tools, you know, Photoshop, Illustrator, you know, all those 3D programs, but I never thought I would have it in me or even take pictures or videos because I couldn't even draw a straight line, like really, okay? And I never saw that I would be close to that. So when I was running short on time and I was doing all those interviews and asking for samples, okay, I didn't even meet one single person who could, at that time at least, you know, satisfy the requirements that I was looking for. And I had to improvise. First thing, I was like, hey, I need to develop it on my own. Looking back at it, it was so successful that the mother company, I was using their software, they simply copied and ripped off, I would say, my user interface without my permission. And they put it on their main page, main website, okay? Now,
literally stealing in broad daylight.
Yeah,
like
I was proud of that. Okay, I was proud of that.
Yeah.
But again, I had no reference point. I had no feedback. Zero. I had no one around me to even give me an honest review or feedback on my work. And of course, I didn't go the route where I'll just go online and post it and see.
Again, get the feedback. Yeah.
Yeah, again, maybe that was possible. But again, I was doing it for my own business. I didn't feel that that was appropriate and that's not the right place. A lot of those things are artistic.
I would say this would have boosted you in a huge manner, having the right circle around you. But I've shed the light on this in previous podcasts in a way that your surrounding has a huge effect on you. Meaning that in your case, even if you had somebody who comes from an artistic background, probably does not do the same thing as an user interface, but probably works with Illustrator or design or something, would be able to give you feedback. Even if it was a negative feedback, you would be having a reference point, knowing where are you standing.
True. That,
you are just standing in space where you are like, okay, so I've done this. I have no reference point, as you said.
See, there is a very thin line here when it comes to art. When you are utilizing art, per se, to serve a purpose in technology, in interaction, it's a very different ball game. Because you might get the feedback of an artist, but that artist might not understand color theory when it comes to e-commerce, might not understand color theory in marketing terms, as an example. Might not even understand design when it comes to functionality.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the very subtle complication when it comes to that. From my point of view, from my own experience. Okay. I couldn't trust that kind of feedback because a professional artist, let's say, in that field would have a great feedback on what I'm drawing individually. But not when you put all the pieces together and you try to make sense out of them.
Especially business sense.
Yeah, but in a functional environment,
mm-hmm.
they are
mm-hmm.
serving a purpose. And that's the whole thing. So I knew beforehand that I needed to do that. And that's where gradually, again, it was not a one-day decision. It's something that I grew into. I evolved into. And it wasn't an easy journey at all, because first of all, I've entered a new world
mm-hmm.
that I just have no idea about.
Mm-hmm.
And I've entered that world with self-education, with no academic background, too late for academic background in my scenario, okay? Again, don't forget that it's an established company.
Yeah.
I don't have time to just close shop and go like, hey,
we'll be back in six months.
I'm going to learn something and come back to you. You have to just come up with stuff as you go.
One of the best examples, I think, that can draw a picture and illustrate this whole scenario that you were in. You were talking to someone and you said, okay, so you know how Red Bull has the Flugtag, I think it's called, the competition where you actually build a plane and you need to jump off a cliff or something,
mm-hmm.
this type of competition. So they give you like a year time, sometimes mm-hmm. 2 years, where you get to create your design, submit it, blah, blah, blah. And he said, you see this case? Well, my case is I was already jumped off the cliff.
Yeah.
I'm already suspended
in
exactly
the air.
I'm already in the air falling down, and there's like a plank of wood somewhere there. I need to catch some nails, create a plane and take off while I'm in the air. Like that was the sort of environment that you were in, given your age, given the circumstances you were in, your financial status, your family status, all of the factors playing a role in your life.
True.
Even the economy, mentioning it, that it was like in a down part of the system, let's say, or actually it's a wave.
Mm-hmm.
So the economy was more or less in the bottom. That's more a better description to it. So it was in the bottom of the wave, and you still need to manage to create that plane and actually be able to take off. I will be needing to wrap up this episode. Definitely there will be many sequels to it. I really hope you enjoyed this. There will be, as I said, other parts to it. We will be shedding the light, of course, on many parts of business. You can't just wrap up starting a new business, the type of challenges that you would fall in. Today we have mentioned a crucial point that only people who can relate to it is people who even have tried to start a lemonade stand or something like as simple as that, where the general concept for people is like, yeah, capital, let's get the capital and let's make money. And I always ask someone, especially if I had, like, it will look more theatrical, especially if I had my checkbook with me at that time in the coffee shop or something, I'd put out the checkbook and I'd be like, here is an open blank check, write the number, even if it's $1 million, but under one condition, give me a business plan. And he goes like, So if it was like a very confident person, be like, yeah, I'll start a car wash. I'd be like, okay, so break it down for me. Make it a business plan. Don't tell me I want to become a butcher or open a car wash. Honestly, if you want to break it down, any business on earth makes money. And we have mentioned this example far too many times. Salt Bay or Nusrat, the restaurant, he's a butcher. At the end of the day, the guy did not reinvent the wheel or bring a new breed of unicorns.
Yeah, but he owns it.
Exactly.
He owns it. He's like, hey, I'm a butcher.
Exactly.
And I own it.
And I worked hard for it.
And I exactly. That applies to each and every.
So the question is, does any business make money? Any business can make money.
Exactly.
But how do you run the business? What's the twist to it? The sort of ideas that you bring to the table or the ways that you would go about a business. So as an example, in your case, mm-hmm. when you were in the digital signage world where you said, okay, it's either hardware or software, and you have worked with both systems. And as you said, you had reached to the manufacturers, to good deals, and you saw the money, you saw that there was potential in it, but you knew it's like somebody having binoculars. So the whole market can see 1 kilometer. For you having binoculars, those binoculars are given that the knowledge, the experience in the field, you can see 8 kilometers far down the road, and you go like, okay, I can have a strong feeling of how this is going to be able to reach, and I'll just simply drop it and move to something else, which is content. Thank you so much, Khalil.
Thank you for having me, and I'm really happy we finally did that, although it's a bit late at night. Next time, hopefully the setup will be better. I might have even more thoughts to share. I didn't want to prepare myself for this. I just wanted to be myself for the first time. Maybe, by the way, this is like the first time ever I can be myself on a platform. Usually I act as like myself, even if I put the camera on, and this is something I need to work on as well. However, before we depart, I want to leave your audience with one thing on how they can reach me. Okay.
Yeah, sure. Plug it in.
If anyone would like to, I'm not famous yet, guys. So it's okay. You can write to me about your business thoughts or whatever. It's on my email, khalil.chatara@gmail.com, which is khalil.chatara@gmail.com. I'll be happy to get your feedback.
And for the fancy people out there, it's Kilo Hotel Lima International Lima dot Sierra Hotel Alpha.
You forgot the Alpha. Kilo Hotel Alpha.
Oh, okay, so you're following up with me.
Oh yeah, so, guys, don't be confused.
I'm just throwing it around so people can reach out to me, gain followers. You know,
just follow the one that
you caught my plan.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, jokes aside, I'll be mentioning it in the description of the podcast.
Great, thank you so much.
His direct email and his Instagram, if you wanted to see some of the creations that he has done. No. Spoiler alert, we did not get to that part where he has developed his skills in the content world. Thank you again, and we'll be seeing you in the next episode. Peace.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.